Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
A Philadelphia Conspiracy. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
It was October 1943. The United States government authorized an experiment that would render its ships undetectable by radar. The experiment took place on a ship in Philadelphia Harbor. For 41 years, the government denied it ever happened.
I don't believe this.
The Eldridge has vanished.
Of course she has. She's radar invisible.
No, sir. She's really vanished.
In October 1943, at the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the USS Eldridge allegedly was made invisible and involved in time travel. Are you interested?
Say what?
How I got to this point, I was just in Philadelphia with my brother, and we drove past the Philadelphia Naval Shipyard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, that's where the Philadelphia experiment supposedly took place. And I was like, I hadn't thought of that name in a while. I only remember it from the 1984 movie, The mm-hmm. Philadelphia Experiment, which is a pretty kind of popular-ish 1984 movie based on what supposedly happened at this naval shipyard. And it is definitely in the world of conspiracy.
Ooh.
But I remember the movie. I never saw it, but I remember kind of seeing the VHS box. And I initially confused it with the Manhattan Experiment.
I was thinking about the movie with Tom Hanks. In Philadelphia.
Sully?
Just Philadelphia.
Oh.
I like where your head's at, though.
So there were two separate sets of bizarre, not just one, but two. So if you're out there and you're a conspiracy theorist, granted, this is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a skeptic, and I'm going to say relatively rational.
Skeptics.
People are well aware that this is something that did not happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a hoax, because I don't think anyone's like putting it on to.
Yeah.
But it's not real.
Yeah.
But it is interesting.
But also, I mean, it doesn't matter really if it's real or not. What matters is everything around it. So I also feel like people lose sight of that with conspiracies. It's really, conspiracies interesting in and of itself, but the interesting things are always the cover-ups and the pontificating on them and the obsession that people have to unlock it or discover it. Like, I love that about conspiracies.
What's interesting about this is how this all kind of unfolded was basically one person sending a annotated book about UFOs to another person, insinuating this is something that happened. And from that is the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, isn't it weird? No, there's none of that.
Like, no,
isn't
like,
it weird that
document,
this person was here and that person was there?
No,
it's just like if I mailed something to somebody and made a claim based on something that is, I understand like where they're making that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But from that whole thing, you know, 40 years later, a movie's kind of made about it.
Yeah.
And it's the movie itself, Philadelphia Experiment, is somewhat similar. Is two Navy guys in the 40s, their ship goes invisible, and now they're in 1984. 40 years later, they're like, oh, we're from the 40s. What's happening here?
Oh, my God.
So that is a little bit of the gist of what's going on. But, yeah, there's not just one. There's two separate sets of events with this place. And so the fact that I drove past it, my brother was like, and when I looked at it, like, I think you might be able to go in. It's the Navy shipyard now. Where decommissioned ships go, and they scrap it for parts. I think there's like a business park inside, but you know, back in during wartime, and for a while it was a pretty happening place.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just big old ships going invisible.
Yeah, just poof.
Just bye-bye.
Bye.
Which when you're talking about wartime, and I can see where people get very caught up in this, because the when talking about the metaphysical, whether it's ESP or dealing with, psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. Like the military is a big proponent of that. Like, yeah, if you, absolutely. That's the first place you want to go. And yeah. you think like, oh, the military, no, it's everything is cut and dry. No mm-hmm. BS. But no, the military is like, we'll like, try ESP.
We have money. We're yeah. going to do whatever.
Can you walk through walls? Yeah. Well, let's try it. I yeah. don't, we don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Let's, we'll take these strange undeveloped quote unquote tools and run with them.
Yeah. So that kind of makes it more, gives it more credence, I guess.
Yes.
And during wartime, I think everyone's in a state
there's
of
fear.
Heightened state.
Yeah, yeah, I think there's a lot of fear. I think there's a lot of trying to solve things in new revolutionary ways, like whatever that means. I think there's a lot of heightened sense of development and emotion that makes stuff like this possible.
The first experiment mm-hmm. in the Philadelphia experiment.
Okay. Experiment one.
Is Ding. A method of electrical field manipulation. So you're mm-hmm. using magnets and electrical fields just to make something invisible, rendered invisible. This would be on July 22nd, 1943 in the shipyard. The second one was the teleportation. Uh-huh. That's not enough. That's invisible.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Let's do teleportation and a time travel, but not like really far. Mm-hmm. So it's not like that hard to believe.
Yeah. Okay. Just a teeny, I want to time travel from here to 5 minutes ago. Yeah.
It was just sent a few seconds in the past.
That's cheating. I'm sorry.
It went from Philadelphia to Norfolk, Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay. That's a little bit more
on October 28th, 1943. Mm-hmm. And then there's the tales of like when the ship, and I think you've seen this movie, like when when it goes from one place to another, it changes the structure of where you're standing. Mm-hmm. So there's stories of seamen and Navy guys just like reappearing, but like they're inside like some of the ship parts. So they're like trapped and mangled in the thing. The way like, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a scramble. It's like a black hole. Or yeah. It like scrambles you, you know?
Time, place, like, you know, where your placement is. And
now jumbled up.
You're occupying the
it's
same
like Willy
spot.
Willy Wonka.
So, yeah.
Like, scrambled, lost in a TV.
Are you going off on your own like thing? Yeah. You're like, what does Wonka have to do with this?
Like, where'd you get that hat?
Yeah, like why? What about the Wonka vision that you're talking about? So that was a big part of it. The lore of the second experiments on the Andrew Furseth view, they were there watching the Eldred, so they were seeing it in this one.
Yeah.
And yeah, as it teleported, so they were like, oh, we saw it. We weren't on it, but we saw it happening. It wasn't like, oh, in, you know, late 1944, people were like, hey, did you hear this was invisible? No mention. Mm-mm. It's just, you know, black ops. Mm. So, you know, before the 1950s, there were no rumors of teleportation, invisibility in North America at all. Like, it just, nobody was talking about it. And we discussed UFOs, like a Betty and Barney Hill episode, a Zeta Reculli, you know, abduction. You want to check that out. So we've dabbled.
Yeah.
We're dabblers.
We dip our big toes in this.
But in the 1940s,
shit.
There wasn't, you know, at least on a grand scale, you might be like, well, I found someone that said something then. But as far as like in public consciousness, it didn't exist. And not in North America, you know, in other parts of the, but let alone Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. In, you know, the city of brotherly love, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Not there.
There's all love. There's no human scrambling.
So this is the name that is the one that kind of set this in motion. Carl Allen, using the alias Carlos Miguel.
Ooh,
Allende.
Sexy.
Yeah.
I need to make something ridiculous, like ethnically divergent name for myself.
Well, it's a Carl Meredith Allen, and then the alias was Carlos, just add an OS. Meredith changed to Miguel, and instead of just Allen, just end the DE.
I miss the days where men's middle names could be Meredith.
Yeah. Or first name, Meredith.
Burgess Meredith,
Burgess Meredith, so it's the last name, you know what I mean?
Yeah, whatever. Let's get more Meredith in our lives. Anyway, continue.
So he sent a bunch of letters and books to an astronomer and somebody who was... You know, I believe that was like kind of in the UFOologist world. Mm-hmm. Morris K. Jessup wrote some books, The Case for the UFO, which was popular for him. And so Allen, Carl Allen or Carlos Allende, he claimed to be on the Andrew Furseth, the one that could see
what's
happening from the other ship during the second experiment. And he witnessed the Eldred emerges the waters of Norfolk, Virginia, and then just quickly disappear.
Okay. So, all right.
So, Carl Allen, you know, he didn't have any proof when he witnessed it in October 20th, 1943, but, you know, there's a couple of different claims. Yeah. So, it's what he claims and then what actually probably happened, what the other claims are. But, you know, his claim was that, oh, Morris Jessup was like, oh, you know, you've sent me, you know, these, you know, books. It was his book that he sent. He made all his annotations in it. And I'm going to read some of the letters from Carl Allen. It's all online. It's pretty bonkers.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait.
It's pretty interesting. So he, you know, it was Morris Jessup who had some credence in that world.
Yeah.
You know, because he was also a man of science. So people kind of.
But I'm sure he had a following too with the books that he published. Yeah, and I'm sure, you know, it would be a mouthpiece for this guy to get his word out.
But Jessup died 4 years after his first contact with Allen from an apparent suicide.
What?
Yeah. And we'll get to. That's a lot where the conspiracy also kind of lives and breathes. Getting a ship thousands of tons. It has to. There's got to be documentation because you know it's an experiment that the U.S. did to be like, hey, here's how we win a war, and you know there's none of that. But on the date of the invisibility part on July 22nd, 1943, the U.S. Eldridge hadn't been commissioned, yet to be commissioned. They spent the day of the teleportation, October 20th, 1943, safely within a New York harbor, waiting to escort a naval convoy to Casablanca. The USS Andrew Norfolk spent October 20th, 1943, sailing across the Atlantic Ocean en route to the Mediterranean to the port of Oran, further discrediting Carl Allen's comments. So it wasn't even where they said, like, we have proof of where it went. It was doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And Carl's like, nah, just zap around.
That wasn't right at all. Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get to something that where the idea of the, at least the invisibility, and I guess maybe the teleportation might have come from.
Yeah, you're willing to indulge it because of this
snafu. Information, yeah.
Okay.
In the early 1940s, the Navy did conduct experiments to make ships, like, quote-unquote invisible. More difficult to see, more covert.
Yeah.
But it wasn't technically invisible by the use of degaussing. I don't know how to pronounce it.
D-E-G-A-U-S-S-I-N-G. Oh.
Degaussing.
What is that?
Oh. It is a... Oh, I'm glad you asked, Rebecca.
You're like, I have no answers. Podcast over.
It is a process in which a system of electrical cables are installed around the circumference of a ship's hull, running from bow to stern on both sides. A measured electrical current is passed through these cables to cancel out the ship's magnetic field. Degaussing equipment was installed in the hull of the Navy ships and could be turned on whenever the ship was in waters that might contain magnetic mines, usually shallow waters in combat areas. It could be said that degaussing, which is a thing, not just for ships, if it was correctly done, makes the ship invisible to the sensors of the magnetic mines, but the ship remains visible to the human eye, radar, and underwater listening devices. So you're making it the invisible, you're just undetectable is probably the better word.
Yeah, invisible is a sensationalized version of what seems very useful in a lot of contexts. Yeah. I also love stuff like that. I love like magnetic field stuff. I love magnets. We don't talk enough about magnets this podcast.
No.
There's so much to them. How do they even work?
Like the Insane Clown Posse? Well, they haven't figured it out either. How are we going to figure it out? So now we're you know, there's no real information. It's again, just this kind of hoax that happened. I guess it's not really a hoax, like I said. Unless it was done to... Who's to say? What is a hoax? What is not a hoax? In 1951, the United States transferred the Eldreds to the country of Greece. Greece christened the ship, the HS Leon, using the vessel for joint U.S. operations during the Cold War. The USS Eldridge met an unceremonious end with the decommissioned ship sold to a Grecian firm as scrap after 5 decades of service. The secret of what's probably what really happened. So the secret of this experiment was kept for 12 years until one day Morris Jessup, the author of the book of the UFOs, was unexpectedly summoned to the U.S. Naval office.
Okay. He was like, this is not expected. I did not have this in my planner. What are we talking about here?
So the ONR, the Office of Naval Research, had received in the mail a copy of Jessup's UFO book. And we're going to find out a little more after this
break.
No, it's break. So we have a pretty cool Patreon episode up right now.
Yes,
If you're into like Hollywood murder, that's a bit topical.
Yes.
The murder is not topical, current, but something happened recently.
Yes.
That sent me down the road to do that. So you can check that out. patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
That's right.
Bonus episodes.
If you love Hollywood history, you're going to really, if you love like studio Hollywood history, you're going to dig it.
If you like true crime and drugs, you're in a good place.
This is the ep for you.
Yeah, this is good. And if you want to help us out too, if you want to rate and review wherever you're listening, very helpful.
So helpful. You know, we take to others and us.
Sometimes take a little bit of a beating we in read, the reviews.
Yeah, we read every word.
Yeah, we read every word.
So for better or worse,
we appreciate
every word.
And if you want to message us, whatever, check us out on Instagram, Ghost Town Pod, send us a message.
Yeah, please do. Facebook, whatever. Like, we don't care. We're everywhere, baby.
Yeah.
Our eyes are everywhere, scanning every word, like I said.
Do you want to teleport back to the episode?
Yeah, back to Philly?
Yeah.
Could we?
Back in Philly, baby.
Oh, we back.
We are back.
Liberty Bell, cheesesteaks. Philly cheesesteaks, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Philadelphia cheesesteaks.
That's right.
Got
okay.
it. You got it. That's done. That's the tour. But I was in Philadelphia, and I've done. There's three episodes that are going to come from that area. This being one of them. There's two more.
I didn't know this.
Oh, I was doing my homework.
The Holy Trinity.
Well, I sent you the one about. I sent you that video of that cult. The cult cave.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah. Okay, that's gonna be an episode.
Okay, you whispered it.
I don't want to give it away.
Okay. Jason has a thing. He sent it to me. It's going to be very cool.
It's going to be very cool and very weird. So I went and discovered that. And then there's one more that I went to if you're into American kind of strife and urban struggle.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some fun.
I'm ready for some fun. Actually, one of my favorite weird places is also in Philly, and I want to plug it very quickly. It's called the Mutter Museum. It's the sister to the Museum of Jurassic Technology.
Oh, I would have checked it out if I would have known.
I honestly knew you were going to... I knew you were traveling because we didn't record last weekend, but I didn't know you were going to Philly specifically.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. I actually have the book here. It's a museum of oddities.
Okay, so this might be something
you'll be back.
Something to check out.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll talk about it on here some more. Who knows?
Who knows?
But right now, I'd like to.
So we're gonna back. Morris Jessup. He's in the Office of Naval Research. Mm-hmm. They got a copy of Jessup's book with a bunch of wacky handwritten annotations.
Hell yeah! If you don't have some scrawling, like weird penmanship, you don't deserve to be a conspiracy
theorist. It's perfect though. It's perfect. All the notes were in the same handwriting, but in three characters, in three colors of ink.
What?
So it was. The same handwriting written differently in different colors of ink I don't know if they were to delineate like what, like, oh, this green ink means this, you know, I don't know what
green
it was.
Green means go, red means aliens, purple means I'm hungry.
Yeah, it was all hungry, so they're like, all right. The notes revealed all the details of the Philadelphia experiment, and the Office of Naval Research wanted to know if Jessup was like, who is this person? Mm-hmm. What is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a paperback copy of The Case of UFO and a manila envelope marked Happy Easter.
Nice.
The book had been extensively annotated, margins written in different shades of pink ink. One of the colors of ink.
Appearing
in detail, a correspondence between three individuals, only one of which is given a name, Jemmy.
J-E-M-I.
And the Office of Naval Research, labeled the other two Mr. A and Mr. B.
B and Jemmy.
Yep. That's not C.
A, B, Jemmy. No.
Nope. Nothing to do with it. So Jessup recognized the crazy handwriting immediately.
Yeah, really? Huh.
He had received a series of letters from a man calling himself Carlos Allende, Carl Allen, who claimed to have witnessed the experimentation aboard the merchant marine ship on the Andrew Furseth. And Jessup dismissed Alan Dane as a crackpot. This is a guy who believes that is making a case for UFOs.
Yeah. When someone who has made a career off of UFO research thinks you're crazy,
You want more?
Yes.
This one's going to be good. Allen's claims or Allende's claims that Albert Einstein, this is a big part, Einstein had personally spent several weeks mentoring him on subjects such as invisibility and faster than light travel.
Why would Albert Einstein do that?
He had a day off.
In a Thursday, you can hit all those topics, no problem.
Several copies of the annotated book were produced, and the rest is history. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of the Philadelphia experiment, according to skeptics. Like, Skeptoid, that's Skeptoids.
Yes, you know, IO9. Straight, narrow, boring-ass people with regular homes and educations and dress themselves
but
every
I like
morning.
To, you know, I like to show both sides. And then I kind of, you know, I see what people, the kind of conversation we're having.
Yeah.
So thanks to IO9 and Skeptoid for that one.
Yeah.
I check out my Reddit. That's, I mean, You want conspiracy? Mm. That's the place you go. It's great. Only healthy conversation.
That's right. Just respectful, healthy, well-rounded.
So do you want to hear what Time Punk on Reddit has to say?
Yeah, he's a time punk.
It's time punk.
I was like, time punk.
Yeah. Like, mine's a cop, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Somebody was like, well, if this was, I mean, if you can make ships invisible, and why do they abandon it? Time punk says.
Time punk is going to school you.
Oh, boy.
Time punk going to get people schooled.
They didn't abandon it. The story goes that, or like, I like that they didn't abandon it with confidence. And like, the story goes, it's that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's like someone called him with facts, but then he also dreamt something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The story goes that they were trying to create a cloaking device by creating a high voltage magnetic field. Mm-hmm. And yes. Yeah, so that was that. And when it worked, the side effect was warping space time.
Oh, a side effect.
Yeah. So basically, you idiots.
Yeah.
They end up creating accidentally a very rudimentary, very unstable time warp machine. Now, it's not advanced. Mm-mm. You know the advanced ones we have now that are out there you can buy at the store?
He's like, I can't explain this all. I have to go see Joker soon.
Yeah. So he's like, it's, and I like the idea of being like, listen, this is why it's plausible. They probably did it by accident.
This is not the result that they wanted.
No. And it was
tear the fabric of
honestly,
time.
It wasn't like super advanced. Yes, it was time travel.
Like,
it was
listen, it's not so what we're used to. We have a better caliber of time space continuum now. So just fucking listen up for a second.
It was so it left many people dead, insane, trapped in bulkheads. Some people melted to the deck. So they took those findings and created the Montauk Project. Don't even get me started on the Montauk Project. I do not have time. I don't have the brain with.
Yeah.
Because then I started going down the Montauk Project.
Oh my God.
It's going to come up
soon. This is the rest of my afternoon. I just want you to know that.
You'll never come back.
Uh-oh.
You'll be like, I did travel time. Why is it 2:30 in the morning? So they took this one, the Montauk Project, and this kind of goes hand in hand, which used those findings to develop a number of different technologies that would take advantage of time warp that they're keeping from you because, you know.
Because it's not advanced and we can't handle it.
Now, there's somebody who was like, I'm going to come forward and say, yeah, it's real. Because some people were like,
what soul did that?
Only one, you know, so far, you know, Carlos Allende, Carl Allen was the only witness. But 1988.
Thank you for calling him by his insensitive moniker. I know. You're like, I'm going to do this the dignity it deserves.
Al Bielik came forward in 1988, and 4 years after the movie came out,
he claimed
that he was aboard the Eldridge when it disappeared, and then he'd been brainwashed to forget it. It was only after seeing the movie, depicting the life events, that memories had come flooding back.
Whoa, he went into a theater and saw some actors do a bad job of enacting a conspiracy, and how convenient. He's got information he found from the movie in his brain now.
Now I want to talk about it.
I'm the Joker now.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I didn't realize I was the Joker because I saw the movie with Joker. And I was like, oh, I am that.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's based on me. But I like because the movie version was really just based on a true story.
Yeah.
In fairness to the movie. It was a science, you know, in 1984, like, yeah, we'll make a science fiction movie that's kind of military based. Perfect.
Yeah, I know.
Now I want to read some of the letters and annotations from Carl. There's so many. Yeah. The pages are out there. Okay. Oof. This is all caps, by the way. How would you like to actually speak to, parentheses, or some of the underscore capital, the men, end of parentheses, a man who was once an invisible human being, question mark, underlined, parentheses, may become so in front of your very eyes if he turns off his hip set, end of parentheses.
The hip set.
They don't want you to know. Okay. You got brainwashed.
It's probably a rudimentary one, not like the modern ones we have today.
I am a stargazer, Mr. Jessup. I make no bones about this, and the fact that I feel that if handled properly, it's underlined, i.e. presented
like,
to
it's people. It's already in caps.
No, the other, that was in lowercase. Oh. He chilled down.
Okay.
Handled properly, i.e. presented to people in science in the proper psychologically effective manner, all capital underlined. Mm-hmm. You can go back down to lowercase.
Okay.
I feel sure that man, which is capital, will go where capital H he now dreams of being, to the stars via the form of transport that the Navy accidentally stumbled upon, parentheses, to their embarrassment. Imagine, like, hey, what'd you do this weekend? I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
I was looking at porn. What did you do? I accidentally discovered time travel. You freaking loser.
What a loser.
How embarrassing for you. Oh, man.
The other countries are going to be like, what a loser. Yeah. That's an advantage.
Exactly. We don't get it.
When their EXP ship took off and popped up a minute or so later on several hundred sea travel trip miles away at another of its berths in the Chesapeake Bay area. Hmm. There's pages of this. I can't.
I love the rantings of crazy people. Yeah. It is, you can't follow it. You just got to ride the wave, baby.
Yeah. I love saying, it's like, it's believable. Because let me tell you something. It's like by accident. Mm-hmm. It's like embarrassingly by
accident. You're going to believe it because like no one thought this was going to happen. So like, of course it did.
Yeah. It's not like
you show me a timeline and I don't believe it. Yeah. A timeline of World War One. No, didn't. No, I don't believe it. Things that pop up in thin air with magnets. It was an accident.
Because if they set out to do it and it happens, you're like, I'm skeptical.
Yeah.
But when they were just like, I was just swabbing the deck.
Whoa, yeah, exactly. Like, well, I don't know. Yeah. Now I'm a puddle.
That. Okay.